going to be strange if they do, because they don't exist no more then, because they've destroyed their credibility, because they were created by the Constitution.
Yeah. Yeah, well, so were the other two branches, I guess.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah.
All right, let's begin this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 2.
Okay.
2 Timothy chapter 2. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your grace to us, and we pray, Father, that You would teach us throughout the service today and guide us through Your Word in our Savior's name. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we've been talking about the fundamentals of dispensationalism, and we are, I think, 4 weeks in now or so, and we haven't looked at this verse yet. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 tells us, Paul tells Timothy, that his approach to the Word of God is, number one, first of all, to study the Word of God. And that has to do with more than just reading it. It has to do with getting into it, poring over it, looking here and there, comparing Scripture with Scripture, studying the Word. And when it comes to our study of the Word of God, there is a method in this verse that's given to us, and that method is right division. We're to study. The reason we're to study is to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed. And the way we are to study is by rightly dividing the word of truth. So we've been talking about dispensations, and we've been talking about it in the context that that Paul gives it to us in Ephesians chapter 2, and that of God building a house and doing it a piece at a time, and those pieces are what the Bible calls dispensations. And we've talked about 8 dispensations so far. That's kind of the outline that we've been looking at. And I told you when we started that that's kind of what you'd call a classical dispensational approach. And when you look at different classical dispensationalists, there are as many different systems and outlines like the one we've been using as there are people who study it. There, people put divisions in different places, give those divisions different names, mark them by different criteria, and there's really no one system that you can look at and say, well, that's the right one, and these others aren't, because we also talked about way back in the beginning how that all of these divisions and dispensations come with qualifications, with asterisks, with transitions, with things that make it difficult to say here's exactly how it goes. So what you end up with then is, if you're going to, you know, go through and study all of everything that anybody has ever had to say about this stuff, it's just more confusing than it needs to be. For you and for me, when it comes to this issue of rightly dividing the word of truth, the Bible gives us, and gives the people of God throughout all ages, a very simple way to look at this when it comes to the practical application of the Scripture to your life. Come with me to Ephesians and chapter 2. Say, we've already looked at Ephesians chapter 2. We spent 2 weeks in it, but we're going to look at a different part of Ephesians chapter 2, because coincidentally or not, the same portion of Scripture where we've gotten our foundation laid, talking about dispensations and the household issue and God building His house, all of that, you remember, is in Ephesians chapter 2, going into chapter 3. Well, it's also here in Ephesians chapter 2 that the Apostle Paul gives us this simplified way of looking at the Scripture. And what the Bible gives you in the end is a threefold division. So you don't need to worry about eight dispensations. All that's important information to know. All of that gives you a perspective on what God is doing and how His purpose progresses. But when it comes down to your life, the way you think about things, the way you behave, what you do, what you don't do, how you run your household, your work life, your family life, your social life, all of those things, when it comes to your life and applying the Scripture to it, it's this threefold division that the Bible gives us that is applicable, takes rightly dividing the word of truth and applies it to your life. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. Paul says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace." So Paul says here in verse 11, the first thing he says is, "Wherefore remember." So this is something that he wants us to know and to keep in mind. Remember what? "Remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh." So there's a time in the Bible that Paul calls their time past. Right? Not too hard to get. Time past. And he says some things were true in time past, particularly about you and me personally. These Ephesians in the same boat. "You being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, which are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel." So you've got, in time past, you've got two different kinds of people there. You've got Gentiles, and you've got Israel. And the Gentiles are alienated from the people of Israel, and because of that, they are without Christ, and at the end of the verse, without God. So that's a huge difference between those two people, and it's a pretty sorry state for you and me to have to remember, right? But Paul says, "Remember it." Now, that state of alienation from God there is said to be a part of time past. What makes it much easier to remember is verse 13. "But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." So that's good news, right? So we've got now, we've got a time past there in verse 11. And in verse 13, we've got what Paul calls, "but now." Okay? And there's a huge difference between these two periods, time past, but now. Now you can tell here, and I've erased the board from what we've had these past several weeks, because really what we're looking at now is not really in terms of the building that we've been looking at from the bottom up. Now what we're really dealing with is a timeline, isn't it? Time passed, but now. And then if you look back up to verse 7, Paul says, Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So now we've got three time periods. Time past, but now, and then the ages to come. So that's pretty easy to get, right? Past, present, future. So now what Paul is giving us, and what the Bible gives to all its people, in terms of the practical application of studying your Bible and applying it to yourself, is a timeline. And we are instructed, come back to Deuteronomy chapter 4 with me, to look at the Scriptures this way. Time passed, but now, the ages to come. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And the Bible uses, you know, slightly different terminology when it deals with this concept. We use these terms because those are the ones that Paul uses, and he's our apostle, so we tend to use those terms. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 4, now understand as we're talking about this, in terms of the Scripture, this division, time past but now, ages to come, has always existed and has always been necessary. From the first dot of ink on the first piece of parchment that became the Bible, there has been time past, but now, the ages to come, and the people of God have had to divide the Scriptures that way. And you think, well, in the beginning, there wasn't a time past yet, right? But the Bible didn't start in the beginning. The Bible starts with Moses. And the book of Exodus is where Moses is introduced. So everything before that, essentially the whole book of Genesis, which covers some 2,500 years of human history, is before the Bible began. So when the Bible started, you had a time past that you had to deal with. In other words, these people here, under the law, when Moses is writing the Scripture, have a book, Genesis, that fits for them in time past, where they are not to go and to take their doctrine from, because the doctrine for them in their but now is something different. Watch it, Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 32, Moses tells the people, "For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and live? Or hath God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation, by temptations and signs and wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and stretched out arm, by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes?" So Moses says the same thing, essentially, that Paul does. Paul says, remember time past and what the situation was then. Moses says, ask now. Consider. That's the same idea. Of what? Of the days that are past. So this is what Moses is talking about now. Time past. And what about time past? He says, in time past, did God behave as he is behaving today. No. God is doing something different today, Moses says, than he has ever done before. So there's a division here for these people, isn't there? Back here in the days that are past, God's doing what he's doing. Here in their now, he's doing something very radically different. And that's Moses' point in the passage. Did God ever do anything like this before? No. So God has changed the way he is behaving toward his people and what he's doing with his people. So you've got, here in the beginning of the Bible, an issue of the days that are past. Just like Paul told us about there in Ephesians chapter 2. Now drop down to verse 40. Look at verse 39. Let's get a running start into it. Deuteronomy 4, verse 39. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God, in heaven above and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. So now we've got two divisions here. Verse 32, Deuteronomy 4:32, you've got the days that are past. Verse 40, you've got this day. Well, again, that looks an awful lot like what Paul told us, doesn't it? Time past, but now. And what's the deal with this day? Well, thou shalt keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day. So there's a revelation. There's a word from God that applies to these people at this time that didn't apply before in the days that are past. So Moses says, he's telling them, look, I'm giving you God's word to you. I'm giving you God's word for today. And what you want to do is you want to consider the days that are past, think about it, and say, did God do this back then? No, he didn't do it this back then. He's doing it now. What he's doing now is something different. So for these people in their Bible, what that means is when I go into the book of Genesis, I need to be careful about taking my instruction out of there, because that's the days that are past, and God was doing things differently back then. So you've got the days that are past in verse 32, you've got this day in verse 40, and look back in verse 30. Deuteronomy 4:30, when thou art in tribulation, all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days. If thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice, and he goes down and says he won't destroy you. So now you've got a third division there that Moses calls the latter days. So for Moses and for his people, it's the days that are past, this day, and the latter days. From Paul, the way he gives it to us, time past, but now the ages to come. But it's the exact same idea and same division. So, again, from God's perspective, we looked at eight different dispensations, and again, the way that different people divide those up and title them and so forth is many and varied. When it comes to applying the Scripture to yourself, to your life, to your study, this is what the Bible gives us, threefold. Time past, but now, ages to come. Very simple. I know that where I am is always in the but now, no matter who I am along this timeline. Look in Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 8.
Zechariah
Just before the end of your Old Testament. You've got Zechariah and then Malachi in it, and moving into Matthew. Zechariah is written at the return into Jerusalem and the rebuilding of the city after the 70-year captivity. And I'm trying to figure out where we want to get it. We don't want to get too much of a hunk. Verse 9, let's start there. Zechariah 8, verse 9. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. Before these days there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast, neither was there any place to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. For I set all men, every one, against his neighbor. But now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. So now here we have again a situation where in time past God is doing one thing, and he says, but now I'm going to change what I'm doing. And life now for these people is going to change because of that. So you've got the former days there in verse 11. And as you read down through, get verse 14. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not, so again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear ye not. So now you've got verse 11, the former days, verse 15, these days. Again, very different situation, what God is doing. Then look up in verse 20. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people, and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city will go to another, and say, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. And I will go also, yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all nations, languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. So, former days, verse 11. These days, verse 15, those days, verse 23, same concept, same idea that we're looking at. In the law, in the prophets, in the kingdom scriptures, you see it there. In Paul's epistles, we saw it in Ephesians chapter 2. On down throughout the Bible, the people of God are given this threefold division of their Bible, so that they could look back in the Word of God, and that's what we're talking about. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth, the written Word of God. They can go back here and they can remember those former days, and they can say, "See how God was dealing with His people back here, and look how He's doing it now, and it's different now." So I need to be able to apply the Scripture with that understanding to my life. Now, back to Ephesians chapter 2 with me. Here in our passage in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11 again, Paul says, wherefore remember Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. So, Paul says here, in time past, we're going to start the world here. Here's my wonderful artwork again. Here, we'll make that Adam. Right? Starts there. And we've already seen, and we don't have to go over it all again because we've laid the foundation of the building that God is doing, that Adam is put in the garden and he falls. I'm going to put a half a smile on Adam because he's not real happy. And it goes along, and you come through some other dispensations that we looked at, and we could put Noah here and on down. But I'm going to go out of our passage here in Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to go to Abraham, because that's really what Paul is talking about there in Ephesians chapter 2, when he says that in time past you were Gentiles who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision. And we saw how that circumcision begins with Abraham. And from that time, Paul says, you, that's us down here, Gentiles, were alienated from God, separated from God, because we were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. So what God does here with Abraham is he takes one nation out of all of these nations that we've talked about already, and he calls him out and he raises him up and gives him a position here before God. The whole rest of the world is down here, separated, alienated, and now you've got two kinds of people in the world. You've got Gentiles, and now you've got this kind of elevated people up here called Israel, right? Separated from the commonwealth of Israel, that's right, isn't it? I've been spelling that for years, but for some reason it doesn't look right to me. So you've got the Gentiles down here, you've got Israel up here, and there's a separation between them. And this elevation here we saw was called promise. So we'll do that up that way like that. God gave a promise to Abraham. He starts a kingdom back here with Adam. Adam loses it. And you come over here to Abraham, and Abraham gets a promise of getting that kingdom back. Paul says in Romans chapter 4 that God promised that Abraham would be heir of the world. That's that kingdom that we're moving out toward. So now here we are in time past. You've got a division between two different kinds of people in the earth. Not kinds naturally, kinds spiritually. God has elevated one nation above all the others. So Paul says, remember that. In time past, you were Gentiles, uncircumcision, and at that time you were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. The Gentiles are just going on out here doing their own thing. Romans chapter 1, Paul says that God gave them up. And that happened at the Tower of Babel. We saw that when we were talking about the house. That the Gentile nations fell at the Tower of Babel and they were cast off, Romans chapter 1, Paul says. Given up, given over by God. And that happens in Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 12, he calls Abraham. And he gives him the promise and he starts this new nation that has a position before him where these folks don't. Now, as you come through here, what you find is that this situation exists when you come up here. We're going to put Moses up here. And this is where Moses says, consider the days before you, from the day that God created man on the earth, has he ever done something like this before? So now here with Moses, God's doing something different. By the way, Romans chapter 5, Paul identifies that for you. Come over there with me. Romans chapter 5. We're coming back to Ephesians 2. Deuteronomy 4, we just looked at. Moses says, consider the days that are past, from the day that God created man on the earth. Romans chapter 5. Verse 12. Paul says, wherefore by one man sin entered into the world. That's Adam over there. And death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. So that's the time from here to here is called until the law. That's essentially the book of Genesis that we talked about. Verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. So Paul designates this time the same time that Moses does. Moses says, remember the days that are past since Adam. Paul says the same time period, from Adam to Moses, and he calls that essentially pre-law, until the law. You've got this situation going on here. With Moses, you get the law, right? And this nation goes out, and God is building his nation, and they have that privileged position before God. They've got the covenants. They've got the promises. The Gentiles are down here cast off in darkness without God in the world, no hope and so forth. And this situation goes on down through. You go, you get the law with Moses. I'm going to put David in here, because with David, you get the throne. With Abraham, you get the land and the promise of the seed to fill that land. With Moses, you get the constitution of that government in the form of the law and of the Ten Commandments. Then with David, you get the promise of the throne to reign over that kingdom God is building. He's building that kingdom here. And this goes on out till you get over here. And I'm going to... Oh, that is an oblong head I'm giving to John the Baptist here. Here's John. He looks a little like Saturn. This is going to be John the Baptist. Take a look over in Luke chapter 16. Luke 16. With Abraham, we get the promise. With Moses, we get the law. Luke chapter 16, verse 16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. So now you've got another change here. The law and the prophets go till John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. Now, here, the situation is still Israel. And there's still a separation. And we'll talk about that as we get into these things in more detail. We'll kind of zoom in the next several weeks. But this is still the situation. Paul says, from where he stands in time past, you were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. So you go on down through here. You've got John the Baptist. The Lord Jesus Christ shows up here, and he begins to minister, and he ministers the same as John does, essentially picking up his ministry. Come with me to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So we just saw that the law and the Moses are law and the prophets are until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. So there's the preaching right there of the kingdom. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that's John the Baptist. Look in chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. John is cast into prison. Jesus hears about that in verse 12. Jesus heard that John was cast into prison. Then in verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Same message. So the Lord, John comes and he starts preaching, the kingdom is at hand. He gets put in jail and the Lord Jesus picks up that same message. And that message is titled for you in verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness, all manner of disease among the people. So that's what you've got going on here. You've got, I'm going to write this down here somewhere, the gospel of the kingdom. Remember a couple of times ago, we talked about dispensations of the gospel. And how that there are different gospels in the Bible. Gospel of the kingdom. That gospel of the kingdom, the message basically is what we just saw. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You remember when we talked about dispensations of the gospel, we saw the gospel that was preached to Abraham. In thee shall all nations be blessed. I said to you at that time, you can't go out preaching that today. You can't go out telling people in thee all nations will be blessed and expect them to get saved hearing that. That's not the gospel that we preach today. Well, you can't tell people repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand and expect them to get saved today either. That's what these guys are preaching. That's the gospel for John that he brought in, that the Lord Jesus Christ is preaching throughout his ministry and people are getting saved hearing it. They're not going to get saved hearing that today. Because we don't preach the gospel of the kingdom today. So we've got John the Baptist starts it off. The Lord Jesus Christ picks up that what ends up to be a new covenant ministry. I'm going to designate the Lord here. I'll give him some glory. Then we know who he is. That's glory, by the way. And then, of course, we have here the cross. Right? The Lord Jesus Christ is crucified, buried, resurrected, comes back on the earth, spends 40 days here, and then ascends up into heaven, right? After that, the Holy Spirit comes down. Acts chapter 2. Put that out a little bit further here. I got my butt now too far over. And you get Peter and the 12 going out and continuing to actually offer that kingdom that John said was at hand. Peter now comes out as the Holy Spirit comes down on him and he actually says, if you repent, the Lord Jesus Christ will come back and establish that kingdom. So the kingdom that was at hand with John is actually being offered here. Now, that goes on, and where you are here in your Bible, your Genesis to Malachi. Here, starting with John, your Matthew to John, the Gospels. Here now, we're in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit has come and the apostles are out ministering. That goes through the first seven chapters of the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 7, there is a crisis point. And what happens way back here with Abraham, where this nation is elevated to this position of privilege before God, they have a chance to get that promised kingdom when the Lord comes. And what do? Well, We've got a cross there to represent what they did. And but even then after that, when the Holy Spirit comes back down, they still are given a chance to repent from that and to receive their kingdom, and they don't, and they refuse, and they end up stoning Stephen in Acts chapter 7. There's Stephen, this is Pete. And what happens? Look in Romans chapter 11. I said we were going back to Ephesians 2, but we may not get the chance. Romans chapter 11. Paul is going to explain to you, to us now, what happens there in the book of Acts, here in Romans chapter 11. Verse 9. David saith, let their table, Israel's table, be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block, a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. And I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. So Israel, here, in Acts chapter 7, falls. And they fall back down to the level of the Gentiles. And what God does is He does the same thing now with them as He did with the Gentiles way back here. Gave them up, gave them over, cast them off. And this nation who had this privileged position doesn't have that anymore. And this is what's happening here. Read the next verse there. Verse 12, now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Now you've got a few things happening there. In verse 11, have they stumbled that they should fall? So they've got a stumble, and then they've got a fall, and then in verse 12 there's a diminishing. They stumble here at the cross. That's the stumbling stone. They stumble at the cross, but they don't fall there. They're given another chance. They fall later at the stoning of Stephen. And God doesn't just cut them off immediately. The verse there says that there's a diminishing. And that's what you've got going on in the book of Acts, through the book of Acts. The fall in chapter 7, and then the rest of the book, they're diminishing. Getting smaller and smaller, farther and farther away through the book of Acts. God is dealing with them less and less until finally when you get to the end of the book, they're, well, Paul tells you the fourth stage in verse 15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? So they stumble, they fall, they're diminished, and then they're cast away. So now Israel doesn't have that privileged position anymore. And on the way down here, in the book of Acts, you get the Apostle Paul. The Lord reaches down from heaven's glory and saves Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. And with Paul, he begins a new dispensation. What does Paul say? In time past, remember, you were alienated, cut off, but now you're made nigh by the blood of Christ. And this dispensation, we already have seen, is called the dispensation of the grace of God. No longer under the law, this kingdom program. Here, starting here, you've got the kingdom being prepared. In Matthew chapter 25, the Lord tell some people, he says, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So that starts here. Here you've got the kingdom promised. Then that goes along, and the kingdom, here the kingdom is proclaimed. Law and the prophets are till John. Since then, the kingdom of God is preached. Here, in this dispensation of grace, and that, that was meant to be a circle. I don't know why, it was just meant to be. You've got the kingdom postponed. That kingdom that was being prepared and that was promised and that was preached and actually offered here is now postponed. Israel has been cast aside, and God is doing something completely different in this new dispensation, this dispensation of grace. And then out here in the ages to come, this is going to go, remember when we were talking about the house, from Paul to the rapture. Here. That's you on your way up. Whee! The Lord, yeah. The Lord is going to appear in the clouds and catch us up, and there we go. Well, what happens here when this dispensation ends? This thing picks up again, and it's Israel again. And you get the tribulation period here. When this is done, when God's done with this dispensation of grace, He resumes this, because He hasn't cast Israel off forever. Romans 11 again, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. So Israel is going to be saved. God's not through with that nation, but they're set aside during this time here where we are. When we get out of here, this program picks up again. If you take this out, this dispensation of grace is a parenthetical period. You can move these together and there's no break. It just runs straight through. And the tribulation begins. It was supposed to begin here at the stoning of Stephen. The wrath of God was ready to come down. When Stephen is stoned, he looks up into heaven and he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Well, what's he doing standing? He's getting ready to come down and pour out his wrath on this earth. Well, he stopped that, and instead he reaches out to the chief persecutor and he pours out his grace. He's been doing that for going on 2,000 years. When this is over, that wrath is going to come. That tribulation starts. The Lord returns then to the earth. Here's the Lord again. Glory, glory, glory. And He sets up His kingdom. We're going to make that a mountain. Daniel says, the stone cut out without hands smites the image on the feet and becomes a great mountain and fills the whole earth. That's the kingdom. So that's this kingdom that was at hand way back over here 2,000 years ago, finally now shows up, and then we know that after that kingdom is over is the great white throne, and then this goes on out into eternity, into the dispensation of the fullness of times. What Paul calls the but now here does not include Matthew to John, does not include those early chapters of the book of Acts. What you've got here is Romans to Philemon. When this is over, the scripture, that's what we're talking about, rightly dividing the word of truth, picks up with the book of Hebrews. Well, who's the book of Hebrews written to? Well, not too hard to figure out, right? It's written to Hebrews. To Revelation. So in your Bible, rightly dividing the word of truth, Genesis to Malachi, Matthew to John, first part of the book of Acts, all goes in time past. When you're studying your Bible and you're in those places, you're thinking to yourself, I'm in time past here. Romans to Philemon, I'm in the but now. This is God's instruction to me. Hebrews to Revelation, I'm out here in the ages to come, and God is dealing with the nation of Israel again and completing that program that He started back there, and I'm over my time. So we'll leave that for today. Do you have a question?
I do.
Yes, please.
Now, during the ministry of God dealing with Israel, mm-hmm.
Yes, and the whole for the whole body of Christ. Yep, yep. Very good observation. Yeah.
So the whole body of Christ can do those things.
Speaking in tongues and healing and all that. Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, God did special miracles by the hands of Paul, but everybody was doing them. Yeah. Oh, perfect. Great. Okay, yeah. Oh, they are. Thank you, Marla. Marla has put together what I have erased from here on a nice little layout there, and she said they're on the table if you want to pick up. Good luck doing this one. I'll let you do that. This is essentially what I'm. No, actually, what this is, we already have. This is a poor representation of a much better fold-out, full-color thing that Richard Jordan puts out. I think we might have one or two on the table. I'm going to order some more, and we'll make sure and have those. I totally ripped this off. So, yeah. It's the struggling's been done.
We can pass these out when we're waiting.
That they're a very good snapshot, and we have a 8 foot by 4 foot or 3 foot board too that we used to have up on the wall back there. It's around somewhere. Same idea. So what we're going to do in the next several weeks is we're going to essentially focus on the New Testament and get into some details of the ministries that are happening here. Thanks, y'all.
Thank you, Dave.